Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to Headstrong. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, firstly, thank you for tuning in. Headstrong is a podcast where I sit down with guests in the public eye to talk to them about their lives and their careers, but notably, I want to talk to them about their vulnerabilities to ultimately get to my last question, which is where I ask them, what does the word headstrong mean to you? I was extremely lucky for this episode to be joined by the band Busted, who have just, I cannot believe it, been together for 20 years. I really hope you enjoy this episode, and a huge thank you to our sponsor, M&S Cafe. Be sure to go get a magic coffee from one of their over 300 cafes in the UK.
I've got you a cheeky coffee.
Thank you very much.
I'm very excited about this coffee. Yeah, what's like your coffee experience? Nice, right?
That was nice.
Because it's not bitter.
But you're an M&S ambassador, right?
I am, yeah. I actually launched this coffee.
Yeah.
I'm a bit of a coffee snob.
Are you serious?
I am, yeah.
This is your coffee?
This is, I'm the cafe ambassador, James.
Love it.
Rolling on three.
I'm rolling on this camera,
eh?
Yep.
Fourth member.
Yeah, fourth member. This is my dream.
Thanks, Charlie, James, Matt, thank you for joining me on Headstrong. How are you guys doing?
Good, thank you. Thank
Busy
you for having us.
Day.
Crazy day, man. Yeah, these days don't come around that often. To do a launch like this, which is, you know, a big deal for us, is 20 years, celebration of 20 years, which in itself is something that's awesome, but also, you know, just to do a full sort of press launch is crazy because, you know, you always get nervous about these kind of moments. You know, you don't, you always think, is anyone going to care? I hope they still do.
Yeah. It was a wild morning.
Yeah, but they do. They obviously they can. They clearly can.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like these things, you just, I don't know. Every single time you have like a day like this, reminds me of when we used to release singles and you'd wait to see the chart position or stuff like that. It's just, you know, stressful. It's like waiting for a result or something.
Yeah.
How's it gonna go? But like we, just it's a full-on 2 days so far. Like we've been in the like 2 days of just like back-to-back stuff, and but it's going well.
It's going well,
yeah,
guys. So Headstrong is all about kind of mental health, and 20 years is a lot of time to be consumed in something. I know it's not been really, you know, relentlessly involved in Busted the whole time, but 20 years I've had a cake made for you guys.
Mate, that's so awesome. That's one of the best cakes I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's so cool. I thought that phone was real.
The reason I had the cake made is because we're gonna have coffee and cake together.
Great.
A nice therapeutic activity. It's gonna hopefully make us feel good, you know.
Yep.
Get some sweetness going, and then have a reminisce, have a chat about how you guys are as well, what's going on in life. But great. I need to know who's gonna cut the cake. I don't want to do it.
I'll cut the cake.
No,
that's a controversial.
Can I film the cake being cut?
Yeah, let's film it.
Oh, yeah, let's film it.
I'd like to film that.
Okay.
Yeah, love it.
So that, far, that, so good.
That is incredible. So that is far, an amazing so cake, even with the amazing little AirPods. That's cool.
It's a big chunk. It's a big chunk.
Matt, you always got to slice the second slice first. Everyone knows that about cake, no?
That's it. Oh, you always got to slice
the second. Always do the second slice.
Oh, really? Oh, right.
Oh, that's true.
I should have sliced it.
See? Schoolboy errors already.
No, we're good. I went for chocolate. I feel like...
Love it.
Do you know what? If it's a well-made cake, which I'm sure it is, I'm good with chocolate. Badly made cake is not for me.
How's it? I reckon just go hands in.
How's it, Blue?
Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
I mean, come on, eh?
No, that's, to be fair, that's very
fantastic.
Well done.
Fantastic, look at that.
No, I'm actually quite happy. Yeah. A relief. All right.
That's great.
That's a massive piece of cake, but...
Thanks.
Here we go.
I'm still cutting.
James. Thank you so much.
Pleasure, sir. So, guys, also, I've got you a cheeky coffee.
Thank you.
Magic coffee.
Thank you very much.
I'm very excited about this coffee.
Yeah, I do you know what? I'm not a big coffee drinker, but for the sake of it, I'm going to try it.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Not delicious, okay.
Is it good?
Nice and moist. Mm.
Perfect.
What do you think, James?
What's your coffee experience?
Nice, right?
That was nice.
Because it's not bitter.
It's a double ristretto, so it's not like not as bitter and sharp.
I could get on board with that.
I think that's really good.
Yeah.
It's good, right?
It's great.
Because I'm not the biggest coffee person, but I like that.
You're going to be buzzing your head off in a minute as well.
Yeah.
Great.
Great. So that's in every M&S store. We love that. Well, but you're an M&S ambassador, right?
I am, yeah. I actually launched this coffee.
Yeah.
I'm a bit of a coffee snob.
Are you serious?
I am, yeah.
This is your coffee?
This is, I'm the cafe ambassador, James.
Love it.
So when they did this, I did the launch date. I had this when we were in Australia, because Magic Coffee's from Melbourne. And when we were in Melbourne, we had a Magic Coffee, and since then I haven't had it since. But then they brought it over to the UK.
You were with One Direction?
We were touring with One Direction, and we're in Melbourne, and I went to a coffee shop, and I ordered a flat white with a bit less milk.
That was mental.
And they said, just try Magic. So I tried a Magic, and I was hooked.
So guys, 20 years ago,
yeah,
we're having coffee and cake right now. You know, you'd be probably more keen to be going out for a few beers, having some late nights,
yeah,
and enjoying that whirlwind factor. Whereas I feel like now, two of your fathers, coffee and cake sounds like a very good idea.
Coffee and cake sounds good.
I think this is genius.
When I was like 18, when I was in the band of 16, so I couldn't legally drink. But I feel like my party years were not during Busted. So I was young. I had the odd night, kind of having fun with my friends on like a birthday or whatever. I did that, all that stuff way later. So I guess that, yeah, I think Matt had a good time in the Busted days. But,
yeah, I did.
Understatement.
Yeah.
Understatement of the century.
Where's the worst place you found Matt?
Oh.
In Paris.
Okay, that's real thing you're allowed to talk about.
Oh, I woke up on the Eurostar once.
Which direction were you going?
Go into Paris.
He didn't know why I was there, why I was on the Eurostar.
With like some people that I barely knew. And I woke up on the Eurostar. And I was like, what am I doing here?
That's brilliant. That's like a hangover moment. You know how you film the hangover?
And I got to Paris. I was like, I don't want to be here. So I got the next train back.
Didn't even stay for lunch?
No. No. I literally got there. And
I don't
the
know
next
who
train,
you are.
Stayed in the station and got the train back.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Oh, my word.
Yeah. So I don't really know you people very well.
They were the weirdest, like, most insane times. I remember, we all lived together. Well, actually, for most of the time, so Matt and I, when we lived in North London, I remember waking up one morning, going upstairs, and there was just shattered glass all over the carpet. And you had come in late and left your key, and left your key somewhere. So the way you came in is you scaled the building, went upstairs and kicked the window in to go to bed.
Really? I don't remember that.
Yeah, he just kicked the window in. And I'm thinking, I mean...
Been robbed.
Yeah.
No, just Matt.
That house was crazy. And, like, weirdish stuff happened.
Oh, my word, that's mad. Mm. Matt, are you happy to wear that kind of on your shoulders as formerly the crazy one?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, it was definitely.
No, but now we were talking before, and now you've got your own mental health podcast.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah, like
really
formally the crazy one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's I enjoyed those times, you know, like, it didn't really get bad for me until after the band, really.
Yeah.
And the band, I was still kind of enjoying that kind of, like, being in a band and kind of having fun and kind of everything was kind of cool. It was only after the band that it kind of turned a bit sinister, yeah.
What is it about being in a band that's kind of like that family ethos? Like, what makes it so special?
I think it's like a relationship. So much of it is like a relationship. More relationship than a family, I think.
Yeah.
Like, oh, really?
It's more like girlfriend, boyfriend.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're in a weird way, like you I don't know why that is, but you
that's
know what I mean?
That's a really interesting way to look at it, because I was like, so someone was like, it's like brothers. I'm like, it's not like brothers.
No.
It's more like you're in something with two guys that you're in class with.
Yeah, it's not like brothers, because
you're not family, you're not brothers.
Yeah, you're not brothers.
It's something else.
Yeah,
because brothers.
It's like a relationship.
Because brothers, have to be brothers.
Yeah.
Sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Family. It's family. Yeah. But that's the thing. It's like with bands, you choose to be together. Like with a girl. Like you, exactly. That's the. Well, Sir James, that is the difference.
Thank you.
Yeah. When we were together, we had a baby called Busted.
Yeah.
And now we have to get together because we have joint custody of Busted.
Yeah, exactly.
We have joint custody of Busted.
It's like Busted. Yeah. Alex is getting a little crazy.
Yeah. Busted is the baby.
He's now 20 years old. Living alone.
Yeah. Exactly.
No, it's like, the thing is, as people that are choosing to like embark on this like journey together of like being in a band, like you meet all these people and characters. There are all these characters that you meet along the way. You know, I mean, like when we lived together, there was this neighbor upstairs, and it was a very like Dennis the Menace, Mr. Wilson dynamic. He was like the angry, you know, the guy that lived upstairs in the kind of the penthouse apartment, and we were like just beneath him, and he'd kick, like stamp on the floor. We'd hear the ceiling go if we were too loud, and like after about a couple of years of winding him up for all these things happened where we weren't getting along. It reached that stage where it went beyond that, where I think he ended up missing us when we left. You know what I mean? Or like, we went on Jonathan Rush show and they wanted to know these stories, like, you know, what it was, what would you get up to when you're at home, whatever. And we told this story about how we went to Germany and, you know, when we signed our record deals, we all bought this fun stuff and didn't really know where to put it. Like, we bought this huge basketball hoop that we used to play with, and we weren't old enough to drive, so it was in our car parking space.
Yeah.
And a strong wind blew it over onto his Jaguar. And we came back and our thing was gone, and he had donated it to like the scout hut and all these things. It was like we were the pesky kids downstairs.
Yeah.
But eventually I think he would turn our power off. Like weird stuff. We'd just be in the thing and the television would just go off. Or like the whole power would go out. Like, so it was like we had this crazy, almost like Home Alone, you know, kind of thing going on. This John Hughes thing going on with like our neighbor and these people that you meet along the way. That's just one example, but like you come into contact with all these interesting characters, and some of them are in the band's life, and some of them are just kind of in your life that you have while you're in the band, when you're not doing the band, and you encounter these people together, and you meet them, and it's just like mental. I remember the neighbors that lived across from us, those like are they Canadian people?
Yeah,
we used to go and play cards with them. And there was that other weird guy.
Yeah,
like it was just a fun time, and as friends, you know, that are in a band together, you get to laugh about those things.
Yeah, but I think it's different to friends, because like you say, it's not family because you choose to be in it, but then it's not like friends because you learn so much. Well, not learn so much more, but you because you're around each other all the time. And it's like, you're not choosing, like friends, you have to be around each other because you're in this relationship. So it's like, you know, you get to learn, you know, each other's, on a different kind of level. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's weird, like, it takes on a different form than just friendship. It becomes much more.
I mean, we talk about that fun that you guys share, and like, you're going on tour this year now, because the cat's out of the bag.
Yeah, cats out of the bag, fully out of the bag.
We can now talk about it. And that's hugely exciting for you guys, I have no doubt. But you're also reworking some tunes, which is super exciting, and I'm excited to hear that. But what First of all, this is just a classic straight up question. What's your favourite one to play live for you individually? Because I still listen to, I'm going through a breakup at the moment, and I'm still listening to a couple of your songs from the, you know, back in the
Which
day.
Which ones?
Right.
Over Now.
Over Now. Oh, man. Nice. That's an old classic.
Good song. Such
yeah.
a good car.
Yeah, 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 I love that song. Yeah, that's one of my favourites off that album.
Yeah, that's a,
that's a fun one to play. We haven't played that in a while.
Yeah.
I might put that in.
May I drop that in?
As a yeah, yeah. I always like playing 3am because
it just has the lyrics, right?
When I remember the lyrics, exactly. Yeah. Just because I feel like it has a real. It just absolutely grooves, man. And it's got. It's something about that song that I really feel hard when I play it.
James?
I probably like Year 3000 because I like playing the guitar part. Mm. I love the guitar riff, and I like how mental everyone goes.
And well, just the screams.
Just the crowd love that song. Yeah. They just like go mental when it starts.
It's also like a club sing-along classic. It's become like, you know.
I think even if you're not a Busted fan, you know the words to that song.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one of those, it's like an ace up our sleeve. Like we could go to any festival around the world.
Yeah.
And no one would know who we are. We play that song and people know it.
I feel like that's the song I was most excited about re-recording because it's the song that I feel like I felt could be, not improved the most, but I felt like could be come into the new way that we do things and the new, you know, we play live. The song's evolved over the years as we play them live. Mm. And I just think the way Year 1000 has ended up is actually quite different to how it is on the record. And I really wanted to capture how it's played now. And we've done that really well, I think.
Yeah, and the other thing I like about Year 3000 is I associate all these amazing things that have happened, like, to us as a result of the song. Like, you know, like when it got used on The Simpsons.
That's huge. Cool. They never use original songs. I mean, that is a Goliath.
Yeah, like to think of a thing to happen. Like, and that happened when the band was actually not even together at the time. So that was just something, because what a lot of people realize is like when bands are together, they're actually together or they're touring and they're being a band. When we haven't been a band for a lot of years, you know, also, but like the songs still kind of are
in existence,
breathing in the world, and they're living because they exist, and like things like the Simpsons, I remember like thinking this is like so cool that we are being like our music is being used in this TV show that we've all grown up with, is like that is really exciting. So I mean, Year 3000 I think is just a special song for me.
Yeah, Matt, what about for you?
I don't know, it kind of changes. Like, I used to really have a problem with Thunderbirds. Like, I really didn't like that. I don't know why I didn't like that song so much. It's not like I didn't like the song. I just kind of didn't really want to play it. Mm. And now I love playing that song.
It's one of my favourites.
It's one of my favourites to play. Like, it's so fun and it's kind of easy to play. So you can really jump around and have fun. You know, like, there's a few songs which I find really hard to play. So that you'll find me in the corner.
Challenge?
Well, do you know, we always start, we have notoriously mostly started gigs with air hostess.
Yeah.
And so I'm always really nervous at the beginning of every show, like really, really nervous. And I can't stop my hands from shaking. And the whole show starts with a bass riff. And I'm like, it just panics me. So whenever I hear that, it just fills me with a little bit of dread.
Huge thank you to our sponsor, M&S Cafe. Be sure to go get a magic coffee from one of their over 300 cafes in the UK.
I had this when we were in Australia, because Magic Coffee's from Melbourne, and when we were in Melbourne, we had a Magic Coffee, and since then I haven't had it since, but then they brought it over to the UK.
You were with One Direction.
We were touring with One Direction, and we're in Melbourne, and I went to a coffee shop, and I ordered a flat white with a bit less milk.
That was mental.
And they said, just try Magic, so I tried a Magic, and I was hooked. Mm.
Right, I've got to ask you, where did the jump come from? I'm thinking about, you know, when you're doing the tour and when you jumped out to air hostess and you do like the...
With what I go to school for, like, we used to rehearse performing, like, we just started doing it and it was in our, like, the first ever music video we made, like, before the chorus there was a bit in the music which kind of, like, you know, just, we jumped in it and then we jumped at the same... I think, like, we all were doing it. Like, everyone was
it came from Newfound Glory, actually.
Yeah. Like, every band.
Like, every band that we loved did it.
The thing is, it's funny because it was called the Buster Jump, but there were loads of bands doing it around 2099. But in the 90s it was going on.
Yeah.
But it was cottoned on that we were doing, and I think it became this thing. And I always felt bad about that because I was like, we didn't start that. Like, it was just something that we did. It's something that you do with music anyway. But you know, it became known as our thing. But it was actually, you know, loads of bands were doing it for us.
So when you guys formed 20 years ago, you were put on the front of a magazine before you'd even released a song. Right?
Yeah.
And
that, I mean, imagine if that happened now. That's absolutely crazy.
That would never happen
but
now.
But we've got like the likes of social media nowadays. Yeah. How do you think Busted would cope now if it started now? Do you see what I mean? So comparing it to 20 years ago, you had the magazines and newspapers.
Yeah.
And now you've got social media, Instagram, and all these different
things. Thing is, CDs. It's hard to say that because, like, I think we grew up within the world the way the world was.
Yeah.
And we did the things that we, you know, and also when we worked with our manager, you know, when we were going to see record companies, the music business was a certain way. Mm. And we were growing up with that. We were growing up watching bands and seeing what other people were doing and how it worked. And that was before the industry went through that crazy, you know, started to go through those crazy changes. And I think if we'd grown up in the world the way it is today, we would understand it differently.
Yeah,
and we would understand, you know, what we should do, what we shouldn't do. Like, we suck at like social media, but like we would be probably better at that than we are.
I'm kind of glad we didn't grow up with it. I'm glad it wasn't around when we were started, because I think as good as it can be for people to promote stuff, I don't think there's a singularly worse thing for mental health on this planet than social media. I think it can make people feel utterly terrible about themselves. I think it can, you know, it's this thing that people are chasing, you know, is just, I think, so dangerous, you know.
And so what's your relationship with
I had to come off, to be honest, I had to come off it last year. I started to have a real issue with, like, you know, wondering, you know, thinking, oh, if you put a post up, is it getting as many likes? And I hated my, like, it started to really affect me mentally. So I just had to shut it all off.
It's toxic.
Yeah,
and the reason it's like that is because, like, what you think is artistically appropriate might not be in favor for the way that they want to push stuff, or the way that, like, you know, the algorithm decides, you know. And I think that is like really weird. It's like all this ChatGPT stuff, and they're talking about computers are gonna, you know, start creating everything. And then they Steven Spielberg did the interview, and he was like, well, the human soul is the human soul. You know, and what you might think is a good-looking picture, you might want to.
Yeah.
But if you want to put that picture in black and white,
yeah,
and you think it looks better in black and white, does it look better in black and white, or does the algorithm not like it because it's black and white?
These filters. What it's dressing people up to make people think that everyone else's life is perfect, and that is such a dangerous precedence, because it's like, if everyone thinks that everyone else's life is perfect, then they're just going to start thinking their own life is shit, and that just drives stuff inwards. You know what I mean? There is a lot of good things about social media, especially, you know, from an artistic point of view, people trying to put the music out there, all the rest of it.
It's that comparison, though.
Yeah, it is, and I just think, as you say, this is a mental health podcast. I think it's worth talking about. You know, that it's something that I've personally been affected by. I don't know if you guys have as well.
Yeah, comparison is the thief of joy. You know, I think whenever you start to compare yourself to anybody, you can always find something better. You know, and I think that's, like, I had a time where I came off it for 7 days.
You came off 6 months, didn't you?
I did 8 months in the end, because I came off for 7 days, but I knew I was going to stay for 30 days. I was going to stay for 4 weeks, but I said 7 days just in case I bailed. You know, so I kind of made this public thing, see you later, I'm going off for 7 days. And then I didn't come back for 8 months, and it was so great.
Liberating.
You know,
But it's brilliant.
There was moments in that time where I'd have conversations with people. I didn't know anything which was going on in the world. Like, literally, I'd have conversations. I'd be like, what? What's going on?
Oh, yeah.
You know, because I had no kind of like, no news on my phone, no social media. Mm. It was just a really kind of like, I just lived my life. It was kind of cool.
But awesome.
You know, but then I really missed kind of, I missed interacting with people in a different way. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's what, the thing is, it's a strange concept, because it's like, we're more connected than ever, yet more disconnected than ever.
Yeah, that's true.
But if you understand, I think for me personally, I had to understand what that was and what that connection is, rather than just write it off. I had to go, right, okay, what is this? What do I want from this? rather than just go, this isn't right, this isn't good, I was like, I had to treat it differently. Yeah. So now I post and ghost. I go on, I post, yeah. I don't look at comments, yeah. I don't do anything.
I think it's like, it's just being wary of your relationship with it, as with alcohol, as with anything. It's the relationship between you and it that can become unhealthy.
It's very difficult to take that step back and go, actually, I am ultimately addicted to it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You would never want to say to yourself, am I addicted? No.
But this is not the same
with alcohol or anything like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
The hardest point is to judge that relationship.
The thing that's like really weird about it, that's like really bad about it, is that it is just not real. It's just not real.
Imagine if the incident went tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
And everything. Mm. And
fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so strange because. Like the way that you're.
What's not real, Joe? The thing that's being promoted, as in the idea of this perfect.
It's doubly bad because what it is not only is it not real, it's also the one thing that people that you perhaps don't want in your life. Like right now, if you have a creator account, you can't make it private. Like I've wanted my account. I actually don't post much personal stuff on there. I actually think it should be like, as someone that wants to do music, you use it to put music out into the world.
It's a promotional
account. Which is brilliant.
Yeah. Account out of interest?
Like, you know, I use it as my life, but I don't post really my life on there, really.
Yeah.
Like, my life is music, and the way that, like, I spend my life doing music, and I use it to promote the things I'm doing with my music. But, like, the thing is that because it's not because for most people, like, normally, generally speaking, people aren't showcasing their whole self. They're showcasing their self.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're putting out into the world what they want to project into the world. And then the people that maybe you don't want in your life can access you or the version of you that you're putting out there. So it's doubly toxic. Like, those people who...
Jim Carrey was talking about exactly this.
Some kind of, like, whatever agenda people have, or, like, whatever they are trying... Whatever knowledge they want from you or whatever they're trying to get from you, they're going to go there and they're going to take information from even what other people put out about you, and then they make assumptions about like what's really going on with you. So the way that we understand everyone's life is complete fabrication and illusion to what it actually is.
Without knowing you face to face,
it's like, yeah. I think it's like mental. It's mental what's going on.
So like 20 years ago, Matt, I reckon for you, were you self-aware of your own mental health at the time when the band started to reach its kind of height? Because you guys were thrust into the spotlight, right?
Yeah, pretty.
And then
pretty.
You've got this, as I say, the spotlight coming on you, and I can only imagine what it would be like for like when One Direction went big, for example, and you've got everyone talking about you. Do you think the likes of social media would have affected your mental health even more?
I think it would have made it worse.
I think it would have made it way worse.
At the time.
I was quite aware of the tabloids and stuff. That was kind of a quite big thing for me. That was, but it was my fault because I was always falling out of nightclubs and things, you know. So, you know, I was aware of that, but I didn't have random people having opinions of me, you know, which I think would have been really more damaging, you know.
Because social media.
The thing is, though, back then, you were sort of at the mercy of what those people would write about you.
The tabloids.
Yeah, they would paint whatever picture they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Now at least, even though it's probably not real, you can paint the picture that you want, I guess.
Yeah.
Instead of someone else painting it, but it doesn't mean that it's any better. It doesn't mean that it's that's a good thing.
Yeah. How much of a coping mechanism were drugs and alcohol at the time, would you say?
I mean, for me, I think me and only really in the battle, like, huge. You know, like, I think it was all kind of self-worth, really. You know, like, it was all kind of, you know, like, when you have a low opinion of yourself and you have something, they call it, like, liquid courage for a reason, you know, like, for me, if I did cocaine, I'd feel incredible, you know, like, I was kind of missing that, I think, you know, kind of, I had very low self-worth and very low opinion of myself, and I kind of did these things to kind of feel different, you know, anything that would make me feel something, you know, and I think that's what I was doing. Yeah,
I don't want to talk about it because you guys are all in the room, and now you know it's positive experience right now. Because you're going on tour and we've got new music coming, and that's very exciting.
Yeah,
it is exciting.
When the band did break up for the first time, I'm just interested, James. Did you because we were talking about it like a relationship. Did you resent Charlie at the time?
No.
Or was it not resentment? Did you always think, okay, maybe there might be another time in another place?
I really understood it, actually.
Sure.
Because I, you know, back then I was, you know, writing the songs that were going to number one. And I used to hate the idea of, like, having to sing, like, someone else's stuff. And I kind of felt like, because Charlie, like, moved to Fightstar, was like, I think he felt that, I mean, he's sitting next to me, so he can speak for himself or interrupt me, but I feel like the band didn't represent, he didn't feel represented. And I felt, I knew that. I knew it was an easy thing. I kind of, like, I feel like I've always related to Charlie in a weird way. I feel like I've, and when we spoke 10 years after the band broke up, I remember being in his house, and it was so strange. It was like, we're the same people. It's just that...
In 2015?
Yeah, it's just like it was just like at that point, he was just listening to different records to me.
Mm.
And in the 10 years that we were doing our own thing, I caught up probably on the music that he had listened to before me. Do you know what I mean? Or we had somehow come full circle where we'd filled in the blanks. And we had arrived at the same conclusion. this is how it should be. And so when people are like, oh, like he wants to do his own thing, he wants to go off and do this, I'd be like, well, yeah, I mean, that's what I want to do. It just so happened that like when I was busted in the beginning, I was getting that. It was fulfilling for me. Like Year 3000 was fulfilling for me at that age.
Yes. Yeah,
sure. The way that record sounded at the time, that was enough for me. I was like, this is cool. Did this cool song. It's people like it. So it was like, so when he left, I was like, I get that, because if I wasn't feeling it, I wouldn't want to do it either. So there was always a bit of excitement about getting my life back, because when you're in a band, your schedule is just like you see it like blocked out into the future. And then when you imagine, oh, like, okay, got some time back. Mm-hmm. And time is really valuable when you're creative and you want to do things. Having said that, mm-hmm. it's like, you know, I think we were very privileged that our band it turned out to be such an incredible platform, you know, for us to be creative. It was just a question of us putting it off, you know, and bringing it back at a time when we were ready to use that platform for something that the three of us all believed in equally. Mm. Mm. And like to move forward on like an equal footing. So I actually kind of, you know, I did so many cool things like when the band went away. So, it's an amazing head start in life. Like when the band broke up, a lot of my friends were broke and at uni, and I kind of was not in that position. I was like going around the world to like do exciting stuff. So it wasn't a bleak scenario. The first 2 weeks were quite hard.
Yeah.
But that didn't come without like. It wasn't like there was no excitement or no, like, the mystery of the unknown can actually be really exciting. Especially when you have the means to actually pursue the things you want to pursue, you know.
Just in terms of that kind of preserving mental health now, because with the spotlight, you guys are, as you say, in the public eye, but you're also really humble, just genuinely nice guys. So what do you do to kind of switch off and actually go, yes, your life is music, as you say, James, but... actually, you're also James. I want to go out for dinner and see my mates. I want to switch off. So what do you guys do to kind of preserve your mental health? What do you do?
I have a full routine.
Yeah.
Like
routine's essential.
I take it really quite seriously. I can easily spiral, you know, I take it quite seriously. Like I have to do certain things every day. Like even just before this, I was just in there doing a 10-minute meditation because I just felt a bit overwhelmed. We'd just been like interview and like radio and everything. I was just a bit like, I just need to settle for a second. Mm. You know, so just was in there, breathe for 10 minutes. But
what do you
do
use that quite a lot.
I did a Sensate then, which is like a little vibration device that I put on my chest, which is like it gets your vagus nerve, so it kind of that fight or flight response kind of dies down a little bit, because I felt a little bit kind of like.
I did as well.
So like you guys went for a while, I literally sat in the toilet and put that thing on and breathe for 10 minutes.
Yeah, I think it's all the adrenaline as well.
Yeah, and like now I feel kind of present and settled again. But like every morning I get up before my kids. I kind of I have a 10-minute meditation. I do a workout. I get in the cold plunge every day, which I hate. But I love the way I love the way it makes me feel afterwards.
When I've done it, it's horrible, but it is amazing.
It is amazing. And also there's something about doing something really hard first thing in the day that makes the rest of the day pretty easy.
Yeah.
You know, like once I've done 5 minutes in the cold plunge, everything else is pretty easy.
Everything else is pretty easy.
But
it's like, I feel like Matt's hugely into exercise stuff, but when I have not been in a good place mentally and I start doing like HIIT training, you know, like HIIT training is really high intensity. So you literally come out feeling like you couldn't give any more. And then I feel amazing after that, which is weird because I absolutely hate the process of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I hate doing it. But then at the end, I feel so good for doing it. I don't know if it's whether it's feeling pleased that I've done it, but I think there is an endorphin stuff going on.
There is. There's a dopamine release. Yeah. Which is
And you've achieved something because you finished.
Exactly. Whether it's if you wake up with a hangover and you're like, I feel like shit. Do you know what I mean?
You get Five Guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, seriously, that's it. But that's the thing, and that's a perpetuating thing into feeling shit, whereas the other side is a perpetuating thing to feeling good. So it's funny, isn't it? You can't really have both either. It's like, I feel like if I go on a run of drinking and doing, eating crap, then it's like, but then if I do it, I'll do it the other way. I'll do a break and I'll go to the gym and I'll just eat really clean. It's really hard to do both. You're either on one train or the other.
Yeah, and also, I find songwriting for me.
What, therapy?
Cleanser.
It's everything.
Just to get your feelings out.
It's just everything. Like it's just the best thing. Like I feel like you can just deal with everything by like picking up a guitar and like coming up with something because if you're feeling something and because it's all thinking and feeling. Songwriting is thinking and feeling. So like, and your mental health is what you're feeling and what you're thinking. So those two things are actually really, I think, really linked. And when you can work through those thoughts and those feelings by songwriting, in a way, it's like getting those things out of you. And then they're gone and then they're in the song, you know, and then you have space to deal with the next thoughts, the next feeling. So I think songwriting is an amazing way to get back to neutral.
Yeah, or writing stuff, your thoughts down.
Yeah, writing.
Yeah, that's what journaling is.
That,
yeah.
Exactly, but that's exactly.
Similar kind of thing, but just to music.
Exactly, because journaling really is that.
Yeah.
It is writing lyrics.
It's just poetry. And that's it, and it's like, I think the thing I think that's so powerful about music is that because the words is what you think and the music is what you feel, right? If you can feel something and express those feelings musically, you can pinpoint that. It's like the rulers that measure like space accurately to like the like five decimal places or something, you know, you can pinpoint an emotion with a sound so accurately. You know, you can cut to right to the very thing. So that's what's so cool about it. That's what's so cool about doing getting your thoughts and feelings out of the way.
I mean, talking about that as well, I think something that has become more apparent in recent years is that, and I know that everyone experiences mental health, but it's so important now for men to be able to talk about it, right?
Yeah.
So I've been using this question a lot recently, and I'm really doing it because I think it's a great thing to admit to say that we do. So when was the last time that you cried?
I cried about 6 months ago.
What was that about?
It was about feeling terrible. I wasn't in a good place at all. And, told my wife, and that was a good thing to happen, definitely. Definitely. I mean, I'm not, the whole thing about it not being masculine to cry is just absolutely ridiculous. Do you know what I mean? I think it's an absolutely good thing to do, and you should, any rush of emotion like that shouldn't be, pegged or ended. You should just let it come out.
James?
Probably about 3 months into the pandemic was like, you know, the headlines were changed, weren't really talking about the pandemic. It was like, there was kind of like having to stay home, and then the media kind of went back to normal and didn't address it anymore. It was just sort of like normal. Or we were like, just home today. That to me was like weird. I found it weird that no one was talking about it.
That made you cry?
Yeah, because I couldn't go home.
Oh, sorry.
All right, I see.
See what you're saying.
Yeah, because I couldn't, because it wasn't just a lockdown.
Yeah.
It was like a travel ban.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
There were fines going all over.
Yeah. Oh, the amount of stuff that happened, the amount of people not seeing, I mean, that's a completely separate conversation, but not, like not seeing yeah, loved ones.
Yeah. So, like, so not going home is, I thought it was quite hard.
No, yeah. I completely agree.
Yeah.
I cry really regularly. Like, honestly.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
Yeah, like I cry all the time. Like, I was watching something the other day. I can't remember what it was. There was someone about my kids laugh at me.
Oh yeah, no, with TV, yeah. TV stuff, I can. With films, yeah, can like, definitely get me like.
Yeah.
Do you come across? I mean, when you talk about this stuff, do you find a lot of men that feel weird about crying?
No, I just think that, weirdly enough, I think it's the everyday man who likes to say they don't cry.
Because do you think they do?
They like to say in front of their mates. Oh yeah, let's, you know, it's all like laddie banter.
I know.
Then actually, if you take away the pints and you take away taking the piss out of each other,
yeah,
get to the crux of your friendship. Actually, ask them how you actually do.
Well, it's so interesting.
And I'm so much more interested in that, and I'd rather have a deep conversation with somebody.
It's so true.
Be like, how are you doing? And then he then tells me, oh, my mum's really ill actually, and I'm actually drinking time, trying to have a good time to forget about.
I want
those conversations.
Yeah, but I tell you, but I tell you what's interesting is that, you know, when I was having a hard time, like, I realised how many people do care because they do reach out. And I didn't really want to reach out to anyone.
Do you find that difficult, like, reaching out?
I think I did. I think I just felt... I wasn't that good at it, but I felt like that people reached out to me, and that was just amazing. That's the thing, like, it's just asking how you're doing, or, like, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think that's I'd find it's really interesting, the male mental health thing, because I feel like over the last we're in such a different place than we were 15 years ago, in such a better place. I think, but well, I mean, you may disagree, but I think we're much better than we were,
for sure.
Do you know what I mean?
I'm going to ask you something. I've just thought about it, and I just thought, you know what, we don't ask, let's just go for it. When you, before you go on your first night for your first show, can you just do a check-in with each other and just be like, are you actually doing?
Yeah.
And just check in and just be like,
that's a really cool idea.
It's
a really cool
idea. If you're nervous and you're feeling like shit, you have to play air hostess, just be like, let's check in.
Yeah.
And just like look after, like, I know that sounds really pretentious from someone who's 10 years younger than you. But do like a check in.
I think that you're doing that on a more regular occasion with all of your friends is a very good idea.
Yeah. That'd be really cool.
Yeah. I like it.
Happy days.
Yeah.
Guys, I've really enjoyed this, but I ask one question to all of my guests. So what does the word headstrong mean to you?
I'll go first.
Yeah.
So the word headstrong to me actually can have a negative connotation.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it means non-swaying in your opinion. And the headstrong is in, I'm not gonna take, but I can see it in two ways. I can see it, the headstrong is in, my head is strong and I'm strong in my head, obviously. But when I hear the word, I think, not willing to compromise for some reason.
Sure. No, for sure. Mm.
Yeah.
What do you think, Jamie?
I think that's a good call. I mean, I think, yeah. I think, I wasn't thinking that though, but I agree with it.
What were you thinking?
I was thinking, I think headstrong is sort of like when you are, I think it's like knowing in your mind that you are good following your own instincts.
You're right.
There are these different.
Yeah,
there's no right or wrong.
No, because like what James is saying is, if you say I met this guy, he's really headstrong. Is that a positive or a negative? I think it's a positive, actually.
I think it's arriving at like a conclusion in your own mind about stuff, like backing it up with facts about the way that experiences have made you feel in the past, like headstrong, like knowing what you want for yourself.
Yeah, which is good, like, which is a good
thing. Just being confident enough in your decisions.
Yeah, it's confidence.
That's, right? that's
headstrong,
a good
headstrong is a confident, like, thing to me.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go with Matt. Do you agree?
yeah, I agree. I think for me, it's like being headstrong, like, in the context of the podcast, is like, it's kind of understanding that all kind of emotions and feelings are okay. Do you mean, like, because that's the truth, right? It's like sometimes anger might not be the right thing to project, but it might be the exact emotion that you need. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I've always been really scared of anger. Like, I've always found anger really, like, I struggled with that, you know, because I had a temper and I was really scared of it, so I never really showed it. But sometimes, like, releasing that is exactly the right thing to do. You know, so it's, I think it's understanding for me, it's about why. I'm always asking why, you know, so what I feel this way, why, you know, like, and I can always track it back to something, you know, so it's kind of understanding rather than just going blazingly into emotion. It's like taking that breath to kind of think, why am I feeling that way? Why is this happening? You know, rather than just reactive, you know.
Guys, this is a super exciting year ahead for you.
Yeah,
I'm
man. Buzzing.
I'm super pumped, man.
Yeah, no, but oh, mate, I'm pumped for you. I'm not even in the band.
yeah.
But it's super exciting. I'm going to go get another magic coffee, I'm not going to lie.
Boom. Nice. Yeah. Let's do it.
Thank you, boys.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, mate. Thanks, man.
Loved it.
This Jake is awesome as well.
Yeah. Thank you, man. Thanks, man. Thanks.
Huge thank you to our sponsor, M&S Cafe. Be sure to go get a magic coffee from one of their over 300 cafes in the UK.
I've got you a cheeky coffee.
Thank you.
Magic coffee.
Thank you very much.
I'm very excited about this coffee.
Yeah,
what's
like
your coffee
it.
Experience? Nice, right?
That was nice.
Because it's not bitter.
But you're an M&S ambassador, right?
I am, yeah. I actually launched this coffee.
Yeah.
I'm a bit of a coffee snob.
Are you serious?
I am, yeah.
This is your coffee?
This is, I'm the cafe ambassador, James.
Love it.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.